arms was green, was colored black by those killing machines. But she and her furry friends took down the queen bee and her men. And that's how the story goes, the story of the bees with those four dirty.
Here. Feminizide sind nicht nur Zahlen. Das Patriarchat tötet, wir antworten. Ni una menos. Ein kollektiver, feministischer Schrei gegen Feminizide.
Dear, was treibt dich an? Was inspiriert dich? An was glaubst du? Gerne teilen wir unsere Lovers mit dir und lassen dich teilwerden von unseren Weekly Crushes.
Jeden Montagmorgen um 8 Uhr auf Radio Lora 97,5 MHz empfehlen wir uns einen Lieblingstext oder Podcast. Gerne laden wir dich ein, gemeinsam mit uns zu schwärmen.
Liebe Grüße, deine Can und Lena. Mehr über uns erfasst auf lora.ch.
Dir, Can, du hast mich gefragt, wie ich liebe. Ich hoffe, ich liebe immer wieder anders. Jetzt gerade sehne ich mich, wie viele andere vermutlich auch, nach lauten und aufregenden, intensiven Begegnungen. Danach zu überstürzen und einzutauchen. Jede Woche einen neuen Lover. Und du? Nach was sehnst du dich? Das Interview, das du mir geschickt hast, war sehr spannend zu hören. Vor allem ist mir der Begriff Voice geblieben. There's a patriarchal voice that we all learn of how to navigate, a patriarchal institution or environment. And then there's a human voice underneath. Ich glaube, mich interessiert Voice, weil darin gleichzeitig das Intime und das Politische steckt. The private is political. Ich frage mich, was passiert, wenn wir Emotionen in politischen Diskursen kultivieren. In ihrem Buch All About Love, New Visions, publiziert im Jahr 2001, schreibt die US-amerikanische Literaturwissenschaftlerin Bell Hooks über Liebe als etwas grundlegend Politisches. Sie schreibt: When love is present, the desire to dominate and exercise power cannot rule the day. All the great social movements for freedom and justice in our society have promoted a love ethic. In dem Interview, das du mir geschickt hast, wurde betont, Fear ist eine zentrale Kraft, die patriarchale Strukturen bewahrt. Bell Hooks schlägt vor, Radical Change, Liebe zu einem sozialen und nicht zu einem individualistischen, marginalen Phänomen zu etablieren. Anbei lese ich dir vor aus dem Kapitel Nummer 6, Values Living by a Love Ethic, aus dem Buch All About Love, New Visions. Awakening to love can happen only as we let go of our obsession with power and domination. Culturally, all spheres of American life, politics, religion, the workplace, domestic households, and intimate relations should and could have as their foundation a love ethic. The underlying values of a culture and its ethic shape and inform the way we speak and act. A love ethic presupposes that everyone has the right to live free, fully, and well. To bring a love ethic to every dimension of our lives, our society would need to embrace change. At the end of The Art of Loving, Erich Fromm affirms that important, radical change is necessary if love is to become a social and not a highly individualistic phenomenon. Individuals who choose to love can do alter our lives in ways that honor the primacy of a love ethic. We do this by choosing to work with individuals we admire and respect, by committing to give our all to relationships, by embracing a global vision wherein we see our lives and our fate as intimately connected to those of everyone else on this planet. Commitment to a love ethic transforms our lives by offering us a different set of values to live by. In large and small ways, we make choices based on beliefs that honesty, openness, and personal integrity need to be expressed in public and private decisions. I choose to move to a small city so I could live in the same area as family, even though it was not as culturally desirable as the place I left. Friends of mine live at home with aging parents, caring for them even though they have enough money to go elsewhere. Living by a love ethic, we learn to value loyalty as a commitment to sustained bonds over material advancement. While careers and making money remain important agendas, they never take precedence or valuing and nurturing human life and well-being. I know no one who has embraced a love ethic, whose life has not become joyous and more fulfilling. The widespread assumption that ethical behavior takes the fun out of life is false. In actuality, living ethically ensures that relationships in our lives, including encounters with strangers, nurture our spiritual growth. Behaving unethically, with no thought to the consequences of our action, is a bit like eating tons of junk food. While it may taste good, in the end the body is never really adequately nourished and remains in a constant state of lack and longing.
Hallo.
Hallo.
Was darf ich dir bringen?
Für mich gerne eine Macchiato.
To go?
Nein, to listen.
Ja dann, Radio Macchiata jeden Montag von 7 bis 10 auf Radio Lora 97,5 MHz.
Fiction for Fairies and Cyborgs. Tales and Theory from a Queer Feminist Femme Point of View.
Heute läuft bei Fictions for Fairies and Cyborgs eine Diskussion zum Thema Transgressing Sexual Practice. Mit Bell Hooks, Marcy Blackman, M. Lamar und Samuel Delaney. Du, du, du! 2014 wurde Bell Hooks von der New School des Eugene Lang College of Liberal Arts eingeladen, eine Woche lang Vorträge und Diskussionen zu organisieren. In dieser Open Dialogue ist einer der Veranstaltungen. Viele dieser Talks findet ihr auf YouTube, wenn ihr Bell Hooks und New School zusammen browst. Sie lohnen sich wirklich. Bell Hooks ist eine der einflussreichsten US-amerikanischen AkademikerInnen und Publizierenden der Gegenwart. Personen, die sich mit Feminismus, Kulturtheorie, Critical Whiteness, Black Studies, Critical Thinking und Teaching und anderem beschäftigen, kommen nicht an ihr vorbei. Und das zu Recht. Zu Bell Hooks wichtigsten Publikationen seit den 1980ern zählen Ain't I a Woman? Black Women and Feminism, Talking Back, Thinking Feminist, Thinking Black, Outlaw Culture, Resisting Representations und All About Love. Mit ihr sitzt der queere Video-Artist M. Lamar auf dem Podium, sowie die Autorin Marcy Blackman, deren Romane Poman's Child und Tradition mehrfach ausgezeichnet wurden. Und der Kultautor Samuel Delaney, der mittlerweile Mitte 70 ist und eine breite Spanne sehr diverser schwuler Literatur produziert hat. Das reicht von Genres wie schwuler Fantasy und Science Fiction bis zu High Art Literatur und Non-Fiktion übers Schreiben. Vielleicht mein Lieblingsbuch von Samuel Delaney ist Dark Reflections. Die sehr zart erzählte fiktionale Lebensgeschichte eines schwarzen Lyrikers im 20. Jahrhundert. In dem folgenden Open Dialogue reißt Samuel Delaney ziemlich viele Redeanteile an sich und verliert sich immer wieder in langen Monologen. Bell Hooks reagiert darauf mit nachsichtiger Genervtheit, versucht immer wieder ihn zu unterbrechen und deshalb habe ich mir erlaubt, einige von Delaneys Ausführungen etwas zu schneiden. Von den anderen RednerInnen habe ich nichts angetastet. Ich sende heute diesen Open Dialogue, weil ich gerade nicht viel eigenes Radio produzieren kann. Ich bin auf ihn gestoßen, weil ich gerade ein fiktionales Fragment von Romanlänge schreibe. Es soll Nymphengarn heißen und ist ein hybrides Unding, das ich auch als ein Archiv queerer Bewegungen und Kunst verstehe. Und in dem die Arbeiten von Bell Hooks, Marcy Blackman und Samuel Delaney unter enorm vielen anderen eine große Rolle spielen. Zu Ehren von Samuel Delaney habe ich sogar einen Charakter in meinem Buch Samuel genannt.
Hierzu noch eine Anmerkung. Ich denke viel darüber nach, was es bedeutet, als weiße Person fiktionale POC-Charaktere zu erfinden und wie ich dabei einen typischen White Gaze aufbrechen kann oder zumindest beim Schreiben sensibel damit umgehen kann. Und versuche die Auseinandersetzung mit meiner eigenen weißen, rassistischen Sozialisation und meinen Privilegien offen zu legen und in den Text einzubinden. Ich mache sicher nochmal eine Radiosendung zu Fragen, die mich beim Schreiben beschäftigen, und dabei wird auch diese Auseinandersetzung eine große Rolle spielen. Und in Nymphengang geht es auch viel um polymorph-perverse Sexpraktiken und das Sprechen darüber.
Bevor ihr jetzt mit den vier RednerInnen über die transgressiven Potenziale radikaler Sexualität nachdenken könnt, ist mir wichtig zu betonen, dass ich meine, dass auch asexuelle Verhaltensweisen und Identifizierungen revolutionär sein können. Genau wie deviante, perverse und queere Sexpraktiken auch. In meinem Text Nymphengarn zum Beispiel versuche ich verschiedene Verortungen auf einem Spektrum zwischen asexy queer und sexy queer zu repräsentieren. In den folgenden 2 Stunden wird in einer offenen Sprache über verschiedene sexuelle Praktiken gesprochen, und zwar aus 4 queeren schwarzen Perspektiven.
In Zeiten, in denen der deutsche Mob abdreht und reiche europäische Länder von Krisen faseln und Personen lieber sterben lassen, als ihnen das Recht auf Flucht zuzugestehen, gibt's mir Hoffnung und Kraft, Samuel Delaney, Anne Lamar, Marcy Blackman und am allermeisten Bell Hooks zuzuhören. Kontakt fairies.cyborgs@gmx.net.
In der nächsten Folge von Fiction for Fairies and Cyborgs geht es um Sherry Moragas Loving in the War Years.
Welcome, welcome, all of you sex fiends. We didn't see you at any of those other intellectual conversations. It must be the transgressive sexuality. I'm reading a quote from Pat Califia's, one of my favorite books, Public Sex, The Culture of Radical Sex. Being a sex radical means being defiant as well as deviant. It means being aware that there's something dissatisfying and dishonest about the way sex is talked about or hidden in daily life. It also means questioning the way our society assigns privilege based on adherence to its moral codes and in fact makes every sexual choice a matter of morality. I'm just, you know, kind of crazy and awed to be here with Chip, otherwise known as Samuel Delaney, because yes. I told him I am the sex radical that I am because of him. It's all Chip's fault. He's been such an amazing person, opening up new frontiers of thought for us. So, where's our introducing
my
person?
My hair. Okay. Hi.
Those drugs I took earlier must be kicking in.
All right. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas. Welcome. It is an honor to be here. Thank you to the organizers of this series and of this panel on transgressive sexual praxis. Gracias, Stephanie Browner, Dean of Eugene Land College, the New School for Liberal Arts, and Jennifer Wrigley, Associate Director for Visibility and College-Wide Event Coordination, for making this happen. And thank you to students of the New School, and Lang specifically, who inspire us on a daily basis through dialogue and action to explore anti-oppression work and social justice. And thank you to the panelists, Bell Hooks, Marcy Blackman, Samuel Delaney, and M. Lamar, for the explorations we're about to embark on together. My name is Tamara Ulloa Santiago. I work at the New School within Wellness and Health Promotion, which is the public health component of the University Student Health Services. I co-lead efforts with Rachel Knopf Shea, and we work together hand in hand collaboratively with student leaders at the New School. We strive for an engaged pedagogy, where we dismantle banking education. We realize that there is a hierarchy at our institution and work actively to deal with and battle microaggressions, cissexism, racism, ableism, fatphobia, and other forms of oppression we encounter that our students deal with on a daily basis. Two student groups that I want to mention that I work with closely are peer health advocates. One of them is the Sexy Collective. They're students from the Lang program mostly, but also collaborate with Parsons and New School for Public Engagement. They work towards sexual positivity, safer sex, and prevention of sexual violence. The Queer Collective are students who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, intersex, asexual, and gender nonconforming, and their allies. They co-lead Safe Zone programs at the university and organize events such as the Homecoming Out Ball, which is tomorrow night. So I reached out to these peer health advocates as I prepared for this presentation and asked them about transgressive sexual practice. Nathaniel Phillips, who is also co-chair of the University Social Justice Committee, wrote back and said, "So often racialized and queer people and bodies are taken and used for the sexual gratification of the oppressor and just as quickly exploited and cast aside. My transgressive practice is dismantling these systems through my sexuality. It is transgressive because I challenge the world and myself through the expansion of my sexual desires, tastes, and appetites." Jasmine Cuffey, Sexy Coordinator, shared, "Transgressive sexual practice means foregoing socialized sex norms and stereotypes and instead following your heart and your head to seek your own form of sexual expression." And yet another sexy leader wrote, "Anything outside of the heteronormative culture could be considered transgressive, and that's not even necessarily sexual. I don't think that sexy is necessarily transgressive, but I suppose that because we accept and encourage diversity within our sexuality, that we could be transgressive." So, today's panel, simply wonderful, marvelous. We have Marcy Blackman. Marcy Blackman's first novel, Poor Man's Child. Marcy's first novel, Poor Man's Child, received the American Library Association Stonewall Award for Best Fiction and the Firecracker Alternative Book Award for Best New Fiction. Her second novel, Tradition, was noted as one of the Band of Thieves' best books of 2013. Black Man's short fiction and poetry have appeared in numerous anthologies, and Black Man's first nonfiction title, Bike NYC, The Cyclist's Guide to New York City, was published in 2011 on Skyhorse Press. We have Samuel R. Delaney, novelist and critic who lives in New York City and teaches in the English department at Temple University. His nonfiction includes Times Square Red, Times Square Blue, and About Writing. His most recent novel is Through the Valley of the Nest of Spiders. Welcome. We have M. Lamar. M. Lamar is a countertenor, composer, video artist, and sculptor. His first New York solo exhibit, Negro Gothic, a manifesto, the aesthetics of M. Lamar, opened the fall season at Participant Inc. and is on view through October 12th. Most known for his music and performance-based work, this physical installation cross-references romanticism, surrealism, horror, pornography, gospel, metal, and early silent film to propose radical potentialities of blackness. Welcome. All right. And we have Bell Hooks. Bell Hooks is among the leading public intellectuals of her generation. Her writings cover a broad range of topics, including gender, race, teaching, and contemporary culture. This fall marks the 20th anniversary of the publication of Teaching to Transgress, Education as a Practice of Freedom, Dr. Hooks' seminal book on educational practices. This week-long residency is an opportunity for the New School community to directly engage with Dr. Hooks and her commitment to education and learning as a place where paradise can be created. Welcome. Final thought, Lang is provocative, focused on social activism through the lens of theoretical rigor. We are proud to present this dialogue. Thank you.
Yeah. I just wanted to start with just a couple of little comments. One is just a kind of reminder, and it may even be a voice from a, dare I say, another generation, but it's the one I got. The more we consider and analyze and try to understand love, the greater our inclination is to forget power. That's because we inhabit a discourse which, for better or for worse, underneath everything tends to say that power is bad and love is good. So we get caught in it even when we don't want to. When I was a kid, I've been listening to these programs on the live screens, and it's one of the things I'm very much aware of is how so many of the young people that you have on the program, and when they're talking about themselves, say, I didn't know anything about feminism until... And then they say 17, 25, whatever the age is. And of course, and I think that wasn't me. You know, I knew about feminism from before I can remember.
All right.
You know, I did. I can't imagine anybody coming to a bell hooks event who is not aware of the Sojourner Truth, Ain't I a Woman speech. You know, I could recite that thing by the time I was 13 years old. And I'm very glad that I did, because, and one of the things it also did is it made it, that speech makes very, very clear, that feminism and racism are intimately integrated into one another. You can't get from one, you know, you can't have one or another one. As much as I am glad that Bell frequently reminds us of the white supremacist
imperialist, white supremacist, capitalist patriarchy.
But, you know, is the black one, any patriarchy, any better? I don't know.
No, of course not.
Exactly. Yeah, they are, you know, they and so, you know, it was, so this became what I wrote about for the first few years. I wanted to do it indirectly. Why? Because I was scared to do it directly. I really was. I was terrified. There was no feminism per se that had the word attached to it. We'd been married 2 or 3 years before Betty Friedan's The Feminist Mystique came out, and I'd published 4 novels. But when it did, it was a great confirmation that, yeah, well, you know, there's a reason we've been talking about this for all this time. So it was a, just let me say it again, once again, that not only that as we analyze love, we tend to forget power, but it also, of course, works the other way around. As we analyze power, we tend to forget, we are inclined to forget love. What we have to remember is that, in the larger scheme, both of them are neutral. This is a little hard.